Yeah, you, you're really cool. You can be anything you want to be. Time to fly, I'm talking to you. No hablo español, así. Move forward, stand your ground. Hang in there while you're doing it. And sail away into the sunset, baby, dream your dreams.
Hey everybody, it's Sean Stewart here. You're listening to The Little Shows That Couldn't once more. Surprise, right? I know, me too. With me, as always, is Steve Cartman.
How's it going today, Sean?
It's going pretty good. It's going good, but I'm a little bummed that we're wrapping up Garfunkel & Oates today.
I gotta say, it was a pretty emotional last two episodes.
It definitely was, and they continued into each other, which was kind of nice.
Well, yeah, they haven't done it before.
They've never done that before.
They've left a lot of cliffhangers, and this time we got the to be continued, so it was like a 40-minute special.
You know, a little bit. Like a 40-minute finale, like a Sons of Anarchy episode that just won't end.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Right, because you're super big into Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. I bought a motorcycle just because of the show.
Yeah.
And then I promptly crashed it because I have no idea how to ride.
Well, I mean, when you don't know how to ride a motorcycle, it tends to happen.
It was a calculated risk. But boy, am I bad at math.
So we're looking at episodes 7 and 8, the last two episodes of Garfunkel & Oates. Episode 7 is called Eggs, and it's kind of about two different things. Mostly Ricky trying to freeze eggs so she can get pregnant.
Yeah, and to make them viable, which is a horrifying process.
Yeah, as we see. it's terrible. It requires lots of shots that are not exactly
different,
wonderful.
Yeah, all kinds of, and a bunch of different chemicals. Like, I mean, and obviously it has the side effects. But
yeah, so we get the opening scene of Ricky kind of bonding with the kid, kind of not really. It seems like a very improvised scene.
Yeah, I actually think that was more of like there was somebody's kid on. Like even the set looked like they were just sitting there.
It was super ghetto. Yeah,
and. Probably what would you say, a skeleton script, if that, like, it was just like,
try interact
with the kids, see what happens.
Yeah, and we never see that kid again.
No, it's totally bizarre. It's unexplained.
It's unexplained and it scares me. And that's why, I don't know, I got nothing for that. Yeah. But
just blast
it seemed
on past
improvised
it.
And very kind of like different from the rest of the episode because... As much as this episode is about Ricky trying to freeze her eggs, it seems more that it's about like growing up and being mature. Almost.
Yeah, like trying to figure out your life plan kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely an issue a lot of people face, I would think, like what to do with their lives. And
definitely.
These two people, I mean, maybe they have to stare down that barrel a little harder than other people, like... Just as a comedy folk duo, one stuck in constant adolescence, the other, I don't know. I wouldn't say Ricky's got any real glaring issues, but...
No, she just wants to have a kid.
Yeah, wow.
In this episode, her big problem is that she wants to have a kid. There's no, like, overlying issue that we can see with Ricky. Kate is just a... Like I said before, a 12-year-old and a 30-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a problem. Like, people are like, no, she marches to the beat of her own drum. I'm like, no, she's got to grow the fuck up a little.
She has Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah. I'm all for childhood whimsy and shit, but then you got to get out there and you got to make the big bucks and then bring home the bacon, Sean.
You got to bring that bacon home. Nobody's going to eat unless you do.
I know. It's
that bacon is necessary for life.
It's economics 101.
Yeah.
Get bacon.
Get bacon, ? profit.
Exactly.
So we open at Karen's house, and she's having a baby shower. Oh, no, sorry. She's having a baby drizzle.
Oh, my God.
Because she's not pregnant yet. She's just getting prepared to be pregnant. Which has to be the most asshole thing you can do as a woman.
The first note I took for this episode was already the worst. It's got nothing followed behind it. And
Karen
it's just,
is the worst.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She
doesn't deserve the amount of friends she has in that room. Who brought her gifts for nothing.
I agree 100. I agree 1,000% with that.
But then we get to see one of the gifts, baby's first cologne, and you're like, oh, they're all equally terrible.
Oh, they're all assholes. Who'd have thought?
Like, holy hell.
But, like, Kate gets her a puppet that she, like, had just hanging around.
Like, made herself.
Did she make it?
I think that was what she said for that one. She's like, or did she buy it?
Because it's one of the. I bought that one because in an earlier episode, she had that in a box.
That's right.
When
she went
was
to
the prostitute.
Yeah, she went to. She did buy that pumpernickel.
But she
place.
Did make the other ones that she eventually gave to that really awful kid that we'll get into.
Yeah.
And Ricky gives her a dress that's way too big for a baby.
Yeah, Ricky, like, yeah, to if that was an actual baby shower, Ricky would have dropped the ball there.
Oh, easily.
Like, have you never, like, you know, if you were going, like, even if you thought you were going to a baby shower, you didn't buy that dress in the baby section.
Yeah.
It had to be in the toddler section, so.
Not even toddler, like small, like adults. Like, that was a huge dress.
Oh my God. And of course, makes Karen a little upset. But then Ricky rightfully blasts back with, like, oh, with your imaginary child that you don't have yet. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's so actually, it almost, it worked out better just for using it to burn shitty Karen.
Yeah.
So Ricky gets points for it. She won
big
that
points.
in my
absolutely
opinion.
I agree with that. And then they sing the pregnant women is our smug song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Which is a great song. It's on the tips of everybody's tongues, but nobody wants to say it because the women who are smug are pregnant. So
yeah,
and it's really disturbing. Like the backup dancers in that video.
Yeah,
they're like twerking and like
there's a pole
twirling on a pole while pregnant.
Yeah, it's. It's very vivid imagery, and it's shocking, but I'm not even sure why. But I know, well,
maybe because, like, as fake as those stomachs are, you're concerned for the baby.
Maybe, yeah, like, there's, it's like there's all kinds of, like, alarms going off in your head, and you're just like, why is she licking the pole? No, God, what is happening here? Like, it was very creepy. And you know, it starts the episode off as being the most cringeworthy episode they do. Because it escalates.
Sure.
It gets worse.
It gets worse. It,
they lay a solid base, dancing pregnant, like pole dancing pregnant women who are smug, and it gets
it gets weirder and creepier. It gets all the things.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Vivian's there, played by Natasha Leggero, who we've seen in earlier episodes. And, I mean...
She's great.
She's great. She's amazing. But, like, she does not fit in that scene at all. Like, I guess Ricky and Kate don't either.
I think it's like they're the outliers on the group email kind of thing. And then they're like, I didn't have anything else to do.
Or on
might
Facebook
as well go.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
fucking Karen or Colleen or whatever.
Oy vey.
Francis, whatever her name is, she's there too.
That's right. Yeah, the faceless Facebook friend.
Yeah,
I forgot that. Like, I'm like,
well,
I'm like, that woman kind of looks familiar, but I'm like, she didn't have a name. Oh man, I can't believe that got by me.
You fell into the trap, Steve.
They got me.
You fell into it. You're like, who is that woman? We've seen her before.
Yeah, I didn't know.
But for whatever reason, Vivian has, like, a Make-A-Wish kid following her around.
Yeah, it really...
And he's just the shittiest kid.
Yeah, like, sure, his situation isn't great, and they never even mention why they're giving him the Make-A-Wish. I mean, like, the fact that he's with Vivian is already... Well, that's
like,
a pretty lousy Sunday, but...
But
you know what? The way he acts, I don't believe he deserves the boat that he wanted instead. Because
screw him.
Yeah, let's not be like have some class. I have class. I'm not going around being shitty, and I could be dying at this.
Everybody's dying.
Exactly.
You know? Everybody's dying a little bit. It's like that cake song said: as soon as you're born, you start dying.
Exactly.
So you might as well have a good time.
Yeah, there's no reason. My dad used to say, "Sean, the world's full of assholes, so there's no point in being one more of them or something." I don't know. He was drunk at the time.
So was I. I was super drunk.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it wasn't my dad. It was a fire hydrant, and I was passed out in the gutter.
It's a great story, Steve.
Thanks. Sister.
So Ricky kind of gets a little bit of baby fever. She for whatever reason, that experience wanted her to have a baby.
Actually, it was even the opener. I think that's what the opener is about. She sees the kid, and it's like, she says, hey, you know when sometimes your womb is like, yeah, but your brain's like, no. And then she's like, now I'm kind of feeling like, yeah, you know? Like, it's a lot of, like, it's the words that she doesn't use, but the intent that she's ready to have a kid.
Yeah.
The biological clock is ticking away.
It's ticking, but it's the alarm's finally gone off.
Yeah.
She's getting in the mood.
Yeah, she wants, well, she's serious enough to go get it checked out.
Yeah.
And that's a big step.
She goes to a gynecologist and gets prescribed like a million hormone injections.
Yeah. Two great big bags of just drugs.
How long were those bags for? Like a month?
I don't. That was the thing.
It wasn't really specified, but it didn't seem like, because she was supposed to take those for like weeks on end before they even tried the eggs.
When they were going to take some eggs from her to freeze them, but it wasn't good. She had some frowny faces on her charts. So they needed the treatment to make it viable.
Right.
But yeah, like, it couldn't have been more than, like, a month or something.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah. Because she had the date, like, it was coming up, and, yeah, I don't remember. I'm not sure if it was even said, but it was one of those things, like, okay, this is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was ever said. All I know is that it was really expensive.
Beyond expensive.
It was, like, $9,000 just for the checkup, and then, like, an extra $3,000 for the prescriptions. Probably even more than that. Who knows?
Yeah, like the procedure or whatever, like just the test. Like, oh my God.
Ridiculous.
Those poor women who get charged that. That's, oh.
We're here for you, women.
Yeah.
We feel for you.
I'm on the side of women.
Yeah.
Usually.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I always felt like a woman trapped in a man's body.
That's a conversation for a different time, Sean.
Is it?
Yes.
We'll get into that on Work It when we cover that.
I'm writing it down right now.
Good. I hope you are. So Kate's story starts off with Artemis. I don't even know what her name was in this show. I think it's still Artemis.
Janice.
Was it Janice? Okay.
I only knew that because I caught the credits. And it was like Janice, and I'm like, played by Artemis. And I'm like, oh my God, that's her name. Because I thought that was just the character's name from Sunny.
Right.
In Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, her actual name is Artemis. And
So I was right every time I referenced her. Like, I'm like, oh, it's Artemis. And Sean's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, because we both watch Sunny and he knows. But no, that was just like one time when I'm like, hey, there's that guy who played Jeff. And then our old podcast and buddy Brett was like, no, his name's actually Jeff in real life. And I'm like, I love the character Jeff. Like, I just kind of kept going with it.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought she just played characters named Artemis. But, I mean, like, who knows?
Learn something new today.
But, yeah, she tells Kate that she has Peter Pan syndrome, like we said earlier. And she does some kind of, like, massage or something to get the pain.
It's like a cosmic chi garbage thing. It's one of those ones, Sean, where they're like, well, what was the line that was kept?
And give your pain to me.
Yeah.
Give all your pain to me.
Now, put your pain out into my hands or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was just like, Artemis is catching the pain.
and absorbing it through her body.
And now, and then stretch. And then she's, like, folding Kate all over. And, like, yeah. And then the first session, she just has her hand on Kate's face. Is like, okay, now release your pain into my hands.
And she's, like, stretching her legs like a frog.
Yeah,
like doing, like, frog
it was
stretches.
Ridiculous. It's like she's getting ready to run a marathon.
I thought she was giving her chiropractic for a second, but then, like, there wasn't any cracking.
No.
Give me the pain.
Yeah, it was just Artemis was prepared to absorb her negative energy. Ugh.
But, yeah. Whatever.
But I guess it is kind of the therapy that's helping, because Artemis makes the suggestion to Kate that, why didn't you want to grow up? Maybe it's because you're afraid. So start writing things down.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, Kate's fears aren't not what a normal adult should be afraid of.
It seems like she's afraid of growing up.
Yeah, but still really bizarre. In her book, it's like, I don't want to be a grown-up because grown-ups have to eat quiche.
I don't want quiche. Well, that was Ricky when she was in her hormonal
No, that was Kate's because she had it written down.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, like, the list of fears that are, like, she thought that what an adult has to do, totally unfounded, like...
She's doing most of it already.
Exactly.
I mean, like, what's different?
It's... I don't get it.
We'll never get it because we don't have Peter Pan syndrome. We've left Neverland a long time ago.
And
Steve.
Thank God we don't have Peter Pan syndrome because it is fatal.
Super fatal.
It JFK it's had it, and like, look what happened to him.
He died.
He did.
From a bullet wound because of immaturity. But yeah. So yeah, she keeps a fear journal, and Kate tries to give Ricky one of her hormone shots, but Kate is deathly afraid of needles.
Yeah, it goes about as bad as it can, Sean.
It goes more so, like. I am just getting over my fear of needles, personally. I do not do well with needles. And watching that scene, I could barely watch that scene.
It's,
I was
again,
on edge.
The cringe factor increases. And I've never had a problem with needles, but what Kate does is when she closes her eyes and then somehow just manages to slice a little cut in Ricky's leg. Oh! Ooh, that would hurt.
Like, was she jabbing? I couldn't watch.
That's the thing. Well, I think she just
couldn't eat.
Yeah. Nobody knows what happened there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Oh. So the shot. Ricky gets keeps taking her shots. Kate tries to grow up. It's not really working out.
Not really.
So great.
She even takes big steps and tries to give her puppets away to little Timmy.
And he accepts them, but he does it in
but
the
he
way...
he accepts it like an asshole.
Yeah. It's
oh yeah, I was going to die today, but you know what? The next thing on my list was puppets.
Yeah. It's like, have you ever done a favor for somebody? Or not even a favor, just a nice gesture, and they totally spit back in your face with condescension and sarcasm.
Yes. Yes, I have.
It's
the worst.
Yeah. It makes you want to smack those people right in the face, and you can't do that to a tiny wheelchair-bound boy.
Or your family.
Definitely, maybe.
Well,
not.
You could do it to your family.
If you want to, you know, if you want to cause a scene, you can.
Yeah. If you're drunk at a family get together, go nuts.
Exactly.
You have my consent. All right. So after Kate gives away her puppets, they go on their little road trip to a state over.
Yeah, it's
California.
A pretty short flight.
I'm terrible at geography. Is that Ohio?
I thought they were in Texas because they were far
that
south.
That was Texas. There's no way that was Texas.
Oh, I thought they were closer to the south. No, you're right.
They were south, but I don't think Texas is like that close to California.
No, you're right.
One or two states over. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure someone will comment and give us the correct state. Yeah. It was
comment, and subscribe to let us know which state they flew to.
So they get to the show. Some improvisers are really stoked that they're headlining.
The Piggling Ganthers.
The Piggling Ganthers are stoked to open for them. They even want them in a scene. And Kate, being as immature as she is, just can't say no.
Yeah.
So she agrees.
Yeah, she says, usually Ricky's here to say no in these situations and what I can't. So yes.
So sure, I guess.
It's amazing that she explains how she doesn't want to do it. And it's totally, like, lost on the girl asking her.
Yeah. And how she just, does not care one way or another. Yeah. She just heard a yes, so she's stoked.
Yeah, let's do it. Big
she's
final.
Like, perfect. Let's get them in this last scene. We'll improvise a bank robbery.
Oh.
And Ricky and Kate will be in it. Kate immediately just
like oh, I've been shot, falls down. It's actually like the sweetest bailout of a improv scene I've ever seen.
It's pretty good.
I used to do improv in high school when we had such a drama class,
that's one year.
Yeah, and not going to lie, Sean, it was kind of the shining star of the class.
I could see that.
Thanks. And it never occurred to me one day to just be like, bail on it and like watch everybody else have to try and pick up the pieces. Like, how much personal fun would that have been? I feel like I missed out now.
I think it also would have been great if like halfway through the scene you were just like, I'm alive! And then just continue on.
Oh.
Yeah, so many potential terrible things to do. Yeah. But Ricky powers through. She's held up with someone else. A male.
Yeah.
It has
another
to be
guy. Yeah, another young high school guy kind of hey, tries to keep the show going.
Trying to keep it going.
Boy, did he get more than he bargained for.
And we forgot to mention that Ricky's been very hormonal throughout these injections.
Yeah,
that
was the side effects.
She's been very happy. She's been very sad. She's been very horny over Garfunkel and Oates songs.
Yeah, she was... Kate walks in, finds Ricky sitting in a chair, just getting amped up. And
real
Kate's like,
amped.
This is a Garfunkel and Oates song. And she goes, I know. Isn't that weird?
I just want to make it with everybody.
Yeah, it was... So she's dealing with that, and
kind of comes full force in this improv scene, and she just starts making out with this guy.
Yeah, she's in it to win it.
She's going for the full Monty for that one. Well, maybe not there, but...
But
I mean,
no, it's the build-up, like, finally, all the gunfire and the danger. She's like, it works for me.
This is working.
Yeah.
And then they start making out, and the crowd is snickering. I mean, the crowd wasn't very populated.
No. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's okay to laugh at an improv show.
Like, of course. Like, yeah, like, well, they're also shitty high school kids, too. They giggle over shit that you don't even think about.
University. Because, I mean, the show looks like it takes place in a university lecture room.
Oh, that's a good point. I wasn't sure. Those people just look super young to me.
They did. They did.
As I get older, Sean, everyone who's probably below the age of, like, 24, I'm just starting to think are just teenagers.
They're,
like,
14
like,
years
yeah,
old. Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you. Because when even in high school, like, when I was in grade 12 and I saw the grade 10s, I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Are these grade 10s,
who let the nursery
like
school
years old?
Into the high school end? Like,
yeah.
Somebody round up these chillins and take them back to the nursery. My God.
Like, every class just kept getting smaller and smaller increment. Like perfectly, like, symmetrical.
Yeah, it was like if it was graphed out on the chart, it would just be a perfect
line.
It'd
be a perfect slope, yeah. And it was weird to me, but what can
I think
you
it's
do?
Weird to everyone. Who would have seen it?
That's how it goes. So the improv scene ends. The woman who's in charge of the Pigling Ganthers.
Yeah.
Pigling Ganthers?
Yeah, you're right.
The woman who's in charge of the Pigling Ganthers seemed very mad that she was making out with this guy.
It's either she didn't like that the improv was kind of floundering. Like, obviously it went nowhere. Like, the scene
very
wasn't
true.
Happening. But yeah, she seemed to be taking it personally, too. So... Maybe she had a crush on the guy.
Maybe
I doubt it was her boyfriend. Otherwise, it probably would have got a bigger reaction.
It probably
this 34-year-old woman
yeah.
attacking his face with her face.
So
it gets ended.
But yeah, she just angrily introduces them, and then they go on with their show.
Yeah.
And Kate opens with, so, is anybody here pregnant?
Thus cranking up the awkward factor yet again.
And yeah... I mean, they're all virile young bucks, just trying to make a buck.
Yeah, and
get that bacon.
And like, I get why she asks, because they're about to do the pregnant woman a smug song.
Yeah,
but doesn't sit well with Ricky, who
Ricky loses it. She straight up loses it.
It's so good. It's so long too. Like the rant she does. Oh,
she goes off for minutes and like she gets more and more intense about it, too. Like, it's just it's amazing.
She's taking it so personal that none of the young women there are pregnant. And yet they have all this ability to be pregnant. And she's just losing it.
They have at least like 10 to 15 more years.
Yeah.
Depending on where we're at. And that kind of wraps up episode 7.
It does.
We get a little outro with Kate trying to confront Timmy, who has sold all of her puppets for mad cash.
Like an
asshole. Like an
asshole. Like, and then it gets in the news about it. Like, there's nothing. It's just another example of men being jerks in this series, and I am, for one, am sick of it.
Okay, well, you know what?
I'm just kidding.
He's
that was fake outrage.
And B, he's going to die soon. So it doesn't matter.
Whoa,
it
but you're right.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, Yeah, but still, dick move. They confront him about it. Then they find out the puppet she liked the most, he just threw in the trash.
Yeah.
But Kate gets him back. And
we're left on a cliffhanger. Again. Yeah.
Which they purposely do. They're like, hey, what's happening with your Peter Pan syndrome? Hey, what's happening with your eggs? And they're like, ooh, I don't know. Cliffhanger.
Well,
shattering the fourth wall. And I, for one, I'm not happy about that.
I'm not either. A lot of these episodes seem to have ended abruptly.
Yeah.
And this one purposely did.
Yeah, like, and I get that it was a big issue and they wanted to give us another episode about it.
Right.
And at least they told us to be continued. Like, could you imagine if it was just like, that was the ending? Like, and then
that would have pissed me right off.
I almost kind of feel like they should have done it. Because that's the way this series has kind of been running.
You know what?
Just leaving big, I'm going to say loose ends. Nothing tied up, no I's dotted, no T's crossed.
It would have been fitting. But I'm glad they did put the to be continued so that my rage could subside to this next episode, which is called Maturity.
Yeah.
The final episode of Garfunkel and Oates.
And actually, it comes around pretty good, actually. This episode, it's the continuation of Eggs. And yeah, I felt it wrapped up very well.
I do too.
Yeah, so I think they were just leading me to that point.
They start off, as they normally do, walking down the street talking. And Ricky makes a comment about her eggs in that it feels like it's of mice and men down there.
Yeah, I got a mice and men situation happening.
Which, to me, makes no goddamn sense, even despite the animated segment afterwards.
Which gets kind of dark. I don't know if everybody else here has read of Mice and Men. If not, shut this podcast off, pick up a book, and come back. We'll wait.
Or go back to junior high school.
Or just go get some secondary education if you've been feeling like you've been lacking in your career goals.
Do that.
Okay, we'll give you a minute.
GED. You can do it. We believe in you. Sure, you're 35 and you have two kids, and you're working that dead-end job as a bartender. But you know what? We believe in you.
Okay.
And Sean, from Little Shows that couldn't believe in you, and we believe you can do it. Just get out there, get that education. Sorry, so what were we talking about again? Of Mice and
Mice
Men.
Mice and Men.
Okay.
So now that you've read, okay, minutes over. Now that you've read it and come back, the animation is of a Lenny and... Oh,
it's the denouement of Mice and Men.
Lenny
and George.
George, of course. So there's two eggs, and there's a Lenny egg.
There's a simple-looking egg.
Yeah, and there's a George egg.
And there's a poor George just got kicked off the farm egg.
Yeah, it ends real rough for the Lenny egg. If basically...
Have you read the book?
Yeah,
you know what's up.
So this opener ends with some pretty darkness.
Yeah. Here's how we're starting.
The George egg then, after a little bit of reassurance, blows the back of the head of Lenny's egg apart. And then that's the title.
Whites
Garfunkel
and
Oates in Egg Yolk Brain.
Yummy. Good times. So Kate's still seeing Artemis for her Peter Pan syndrome. Still absorbing all that pain from Kate.
Yeah, and I think it's helping. Actually,
I think talking is helping more than the pain absorption.
Yes, that is what I meant. Sorry. Okay. I haven't turned over to the, oh, yeah, it's like
I know you're
cosmic
a big
chakras
Steve,
and stuff. Yeah, yeah. I really came around in the last 15 minutes there. I've read some amazing literature, you guys.
Yeah, for sure. It's been really great. Yeah. And she kind of, not she convince her, but kind of, well,
pushes
yeah, I guess
her
convinces
to.
Her to.
Yeah, she gets her to do something a little outside the comfort zone, and maybe it'll yield some results.
Yeah, so she decides to try online dating.
Yeah, and so she widens. She turns out she had a profile before, for her, you know, like puppets, kazoo parades, or whatever, all kinds of fun.
Was kazoo parades on there?
I don't remember. I'm almost certain it was at least kazoos and parades. Maybe it wasn't,
okay.
Like, maybe there's a comma in between. But, like, I feel like this isn't just something that she's half-hearted about. She is big into kazoos and parades.
Well, clearly.
So she realized that maybe if I widen the age net, she might catch a younger fish.
Well, I mean, she was going with, like, just 33-year-olds who are into these specific things. So, I mean, yeah, widening her net is could only do her some good.
And turns out it does.
It does. She nets a real keeper.
Yeah. Braden.
He's 18 years old. He's in his last year of high school.
Hopefully.
And you guys, he's going to make valedictorian. Probably not. No. He's probably not going
to. He kind of seems like a middle-of-the-road kid.
Maybe even like to the lower edge of the spectrum. Yeah.
Well, he reveals on, because then they go on a date, and he reveals that he is big into jazz and in a jazz band. And so that makes me think, like, he's, then I agree with you, Sean, little bottom of the tier.
Band nerd.
And
unsubscribe.
Yeah. And Kate convinces him, or Kate shines the light, that no, you don't like jazz. Nobody does. It's the only people who like jazz are the people who play jazz.
Which makes complete sense. Because they are giving it their all on that stage.
Yeah, they're sure they're into it, and for whatever reason, they're still into it. And you know, I'm not going to call people down. Like, do what you want, shine on, crazy diamonds and
absolutely.
Such.
Absolutely,
doesn't hurt me none. So
bright like a diamond, Rihanna, 2013.
Yeah, and so just know that you don't actually love it. And if you can get by,
just
past
know
that,
it's a lie.
Yeah,
like religion.
I just want to shine the truth of people.
That's kind of unfair to say. Believe what you want to believe. Do what you want to do, folks.
Yeah,
we're not about putting people in boxes.
So
unless you're one of those box people.
Yeah. So the date kind of goes well, but I don't think it's going to end very well for Kate, Sean. And I just have one of those crazy feelings. I don't know.
Things are kind of derailing when he like thinks she's like some kind of sage, like, oh, you're a genius, oh my god, how could I not have realized that jazz is terrible, wow, you're so smart and you're so beautiful.
Yeah,
and
a little bit of a red flag there too,
a little bit.
And which is actually I had a thing here where this date kind of going on with two really young immature people not really knowing what's about to happen is very in stark contrast to where Ricky's gone.
Definitely. Where she just wants to bone anything that will text her.
Exactly. And it turns out what's been texting her is an ex.
Sounds like they were kind of serious.
It does. It also sounds like he kind of just dropped her a couple of times. And I don't know. It's we don't know a lot about the relationship until they're just there again. She's back at his place.
It's true. It's true.
So, yeah. She gives in.
We know that he misses her like crazy, though.
Yeah.
Because he kept her toothbrush. He kept whatever snacks that she had.
It was a jar of something in a fridge. It looked like chocolate milk, but it could have been anything before that. Like a jar of olives.
Like, also true.
Like, it was something, and then
something really old.
Immediately. And Ricky takes a sip. So she immediately realizes, hey, it's been 6 months since we've been together.
That's a long time. Let's hang out.
That's a long time to leave something in the fridge, Sean.
That is an incredibly long time to leave something in the fridge.
I don't even think a lot of people go 6 months without changing toothbrushes. Wackos
sure.
do. I don't know. I don't even brush anymore, Sean. Nobody's noticed.
Yeah, I just chew toothpaste.
Nice.
Cuts my brushing down immensely. It's wonderful. So yeah, Ricky is kind of hooking up again with her old boyfriend, kind of realizing what she's missed.
Yeah, they have a them day or a do an us Saturday. I forget.
Our Saturday is what she describes it as. Which seems like a lot of shopping, a lot of boning, and just general hanging out.
Yeah, it seems like, hey, remember all the good parts of our relationship? Let's do all those this time. And you know what? It's good. Big surprise.
They kind of bond over the restaurant specials.
Yeah.
At their favorite place. They get the same grilled cheese. They sit on the same side of the table. The waitress recognizes them. Things are going good.
Yeah, there's definitely chemistry. There's sparks. Like, and he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Nice-looking face. Body's not bad. Except for the tattoo on his back. I mean, sure, it's maybe kind of funny, but...
It's as bad as Steve-O's Your Name tattoo on his inner thigh or on his butt.
Yeah. It's not great.
Dare I say worse than Steve-O's Your Name tattoo on his ass.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of clicking for them.
It is, but then we kind of get to the root of their problems before. It was that Ricky was just too into herself.
Yeah, it turns out she wasn't the great one in the relationship, which it's revelations from Jason, or...
I didn't catch his name.
I think it's Jason.
I think it was Jason. Jason. I think you're right.
That Jason kind of was like, hey, you never cared about me as much. You kind of wanted to do your own thing. And I'm like, whoa. It's like, that's surprising.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, like, that's like a legitimate problem. Like, that's what... And then, of course, Ricky says, well, why didn't you want to, like, bring it up? Why didn't you talk about it? And it was just, wow, they're different places, different times, but now they are.
Yeah.
So, maybe it's healthy.
Will things work out? No. I have no idea.
Sean, I've seen the end of the episode. I don't think it does.
No?
Let's continue on. I'm not sure.
Kate picks up her boyfriend from Saturday detention.
Which, the worst, am I right?
Oh, God, I hate Saturday detention, Breakfast Club, all over again. Which he does not get the reference at all, because he's 12.
16 years difference.
Yeah. Gonna go real well. And then they go to a party.
Yeah.
Where the leader of their jazz band gets real up into Kate's face.
Yeah, what do you think you're doing?
How dare you? You look like a Flintstones character with that burned lip.
Yeah, it's... it's funny. He's like, what, do you even think about it a lot? And she's like, well, not a lot. It's just like... It's like she doesn't even register, like, his...
That he's
like,
trying to insult her?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, Kate's her own thing. She beats to her own drum.
Ugh.
Mercilessly. And I don't know if she's better off for it. I mean, she's getting better now that she's seeing Artemis.
Well,
and
it's... Yeah, it...
18-year-old.
Yeah, so, but... I mean, high school house party...
Not a great place for 30.
It's not going to end well.
No.
It barely ends well for the high schoolers.
Like, it doesn't.
I mean, how many times out of 10 does a house party end well for young, stupid people?
I'm going to go with one.
One times out of 10.
Of 10.
I'll go along with that percentage.
Perfect. 10%. That's what we're sitting at. So Kate's boyfriend says that he can't be out later than 10 unless he's sleeping over. And Kate takes that the completely wrong way. She thought, sweet, we're going to have a sleepover. We're going to do each other's hair, talk about boys.
Probably play with
TV,
puppets,
pillow
watch
fight,
Pumpernickel
maybe.
Farm.
And he comes out with wine and just ready to bone.
And like the two biggest glasses of wine ever.
Yeah.
It's like he like filled them right up to the top. But he comes in to Kate wearing a onesie.
Oh, and like a fuzzy onesie, like the most embarrassing onesie to be seen in.
It's still, it's remnants of the cringing of last episode come back, and I went, oh no,
Peter Pan syndrome all over again.
Yeah,
she's not any better.
Yeah, this is going to end well.
Yeah, exactly.
But, there is romance, ?
Would you call that romance?
Definitely not romance.
I would call that a miracle of modern science because they are hooking up.
I think
maybe they're dry humping.
I think that that's kind of what I felt was happening, and then he's just like, oh no, I'm almost there, and I'm just
finishes way too quickly.
Yeah.
Well, he's in high school,
exactly.
So what can you expect? And then leaves because she's too vanilla.
Yeah, her style. She's like, I'm great in the sack. Well, I'm not bad. It's like, you're vanilla. And then she's like, well, you're a virgin. He goes, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Which it contradicts like what just happened. Like to him, I'm just like, because when that happened, I'm like, obviously.
Well, clearly.
But I think he might have been just a wee bit butthurt. So he was trying to defend himself.
He's trying to look. It was like Anthony Jeselnik with the gag reflex
gag and,
incident.
Yeah, his defense.
Yeah. But what can you do? So Kate's going through that, unfortunately. And Ricky is still hanging out with her ex. And it's just time for her last shot before she gets her eggs.
The 9 p.m. injection, the critical.
The biggest one. And her and Jason walks in on her doing it and kind of roadblocks the whole situation.
He does.
Like, why wasn't I part of this discussion?
Included in this decision you made weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I just want to interject real quick. She runs into the bathroom. She says, "Don't come in here." He knocks. She says, "Don't come in here." He goes in there. Now, I don't know what problem this guy has. That is never a good idea. It's always the wrong idea.
I'm going to go with smothering issues because he seems to be like...
Yeah, he gets a little up too much in the grill of Ricky. And like, yeah, anything could have been happening there. I'm just saying. Like,
it could have been a huge mess. Huge mess. You don't know what you're walking into when a woman says, "Don't come in."
Yeah, like, I'm even half scared when there's a girl in a room, I knock on the door, she says, "Come in." I'm like,
yeah, like,
you know it's me, right? Like,
oh, maybe I should go.
Well. But anyway, so Jason here starts declaring his problem with this. He's like, "Well, we're going to have babies."
Maybe.
And she's just... like, "Well, I can't have babies right now. This is like a fallback." And then he's like, "No, trust me, this will work out this time." And like, yeah, he is trying to make it work. Like, this is like something that's pretty shocking to him. But there's no reason that they can't do it or that she can't do it and that they can't try
and
later.
Still try, right.
Yeah, like it shouldn't be a deal breaker.
I agree with that.
But it is for him. He says, either you trust me and you don't do it or you do it. Wow.
So is that game over for the relationship?
I think it was.
You think it was?
Yeah.
Because she never goes back to him.
Yeah, well, that's
in any
the
form.
The episode's already closing in on its ending, and obviously we're not going to get all the resolutions we want.
Yeah, I suppose. So.
But
Ricky
yeah.
goes into her appointment, and unfortunately had no luck. She had no eggs.
Wasn't a happy Easter.
Wasn't a happy Easter.
You know what? That's crushing on a lot of levels, mostly financially. Like, they better
definitely.
Be, like, saying, "Okay, we can do the procedure again, just pay for the drugs again." Like, you know, like...
Yeah.
Like, I'd feel... I don't know. Probably not, but, like...
Who knows how that would have...
I feel like that's a lot of, like, one-shot-only kind of thing.
It seems
for a lot
like
of women,
it
would
like
be like...
there's a lot of build-up to that.
Because they can't be just flush with 12, 15 grand, whatever it was, to be like, "Well,
like,
let's just do this now."
Hormones.
Yeah, it's too bad. It doesn't work out. Doesn't work out for Kate.
Doesn't work out for Kate. But her spirits are high. She decides she's gonna throw a kazoo parade.
And I think she puts an ads on Craigslist.
She must have, because Creed's there front and center.
Oh God!
About six or seven other old dudes.
Yeah, she's out in her Uncle Sam outfit.
Her Uncle
she's
Sam
got
outfit.
A bandolier of kazoos.
Ready for the old kazoo parade. And despite Kate's
optimism?
Yeah, despite Kate's optimism.
Oh, it goes wrong, Sean.
Things go incredibly wrong.
It goes about as bad as it could.
Creed and the gang decide to whip their Johnsons out
because
kazoo parades have a completely different meaning on the internet.
They're men of Craigslist, and they're here for their kazoo parade.
Yeah. Apparently, a kazoo parade... is when one woman fellates a bunch of flaccid penises.
In a row.
In a complete row.
And
who'd have thought?
Why?
Which makes sense.
Why, mostly.
Which makes sense when Creed is confused when they decide they're going to have the kazoo parade
on
the
street.
In the park.
Yeah. And like, oh my God, it's so creepy.
Well, I mean,
it's amazing how creepy they get like with just the few lines of dialogue before it all blows apart.
It doesn't help that Creed is the one talking.
I know, yeah.
Like,
Creed.
Creed is just madness in an old man.
Yeah. I'll never see him differently.
He's the embodiment of madness.
Yes, I agree. wholeheartedly.
And I just want to go back to Kazoo Parade. I had to look that up because I'm like, there's no way that's a real thing. Yeah. Is it?
It's just like something they made up for the show because Kate loves a Kazoo Parade.
Like Soup Kitchen and the other guys.
Exactly. That's hopefully not a thing.
We'll Google that after. But
we're not going to Google it. Think about what we're gaining by Googling
it,
Sean.
Turn image searches off, okay?
Christ.
But yeah. First result, Urban Dictionary, Kazoo Parade is a very real thing. And I am not better knowing that.
Yeah, that's not the thing I needed to learn today.
That is definitely something I did not need to know. And we just kind of end the episode on a down note. Like everybody.
Well, it's looking pretty down, yeah. Kate and Ricky get back together, but we get a song.
We get a song called Loser. Which is kind of fitting because they sing about how you lost.
Yeah, there's a runner who loses out, a guy who gets fired from his job, and a man lonely or losing out in love. Yeah, and they're all losers.
They're all losers, but that's okay.
It is. It
because
really
at least
is.
You tried.
And that's like where the song picks back up, like, and it gets really. Really good. Like,
yeah,
it's way better to have tried than to be like the spectator on the side. I might actually listen to it again when I go home just because, like, it's not really for me. Like, the song says it's this is a cheering section for losers, and I'm a winner, Sean. I've always have been. But I'm still going to steal the lessons of the song and apply it to my own to strengthen me even further. Like, I'm going to take the song for the losers. I'm going to take it away from them so that they still lose again kind of thing,
that's
I guess.
Harsh.
Well,
but
it'll make me stronger.
But
like eating the hearts
weaker.
Of your enemies. It gives you more power.
We're not doing ravenous rules here, Steve. This is real life.
But no, I am honestly going to listen to the song again. It was
good.
It's
a good song. I highly recommend listening to it. It's on YouTube. Their spirits are high. We end on a decent note. We have a present exchange.
Yeah.
Last gift exchange. Ricky gives Kate a bunch of puppets made of Ricky and Kate.
Yeah.
Which we've seen before, which are awesome.
They are.
And Kate gives Ricky a book for Ricky's future baby.
Yeah, it's actually powerfully sweet.
Is it though? It's about her book of fears.
But that's the thing. It's actually changed. Because the book of fears was adults have to do this. Whereas this book was kids get to eat popsicles, kids get to ride on the Ferris wheel or something like it was like.
So it's like the antithesis of a.
It was, yeah. And that was like, okay, so that's how Kate can see the positive and like, yeah, and the future baby because she believes in her friend and her ability to get knocked up. Like,
it'll happen.
I think it was a real good. Because there's nothing better, like, you get knocked down, but then when you get back up, and then you get that little bit of warmth, like, heartwarming feeling coming back, I think that's even stronger than just a win right out of the gate. Well, maybe not stronger, but
it's definitely not a downer.
Yeah. It's a powerful effect.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
And,
So just keep on trying, folks.
Yeah.
Keep
Don't
on
ever
trying.
Get down
You'll get it eventually.
After trying.
You'll get it.
Feel like a piece of shit if you never try.
Well,
that's what
thing.
I
want to
say.
If you don't try, you don't feel like a piece of shit. But at the same time, you're not trying.
Exactly.
So it's kind
so
of
what
like
can you even say that you've done is what I'm saying. As long as you don't look at it too closely, yeah, you're doing fine.
Perfect. Well, that's Garfunkel & Oates, Steve. We did it.
Yeah, it was a
series.
It was a hell of a ride.
Hell of a ride. I enjoyed this series a lot.
It's, I mean, we've done a lot of other shows that I say, why can't we get more of it? It didn't, I don't even know why it didn't do so great.
I'm confused myself because as far as IFC is concerned, they've had a lot more niche comedy shows.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, we've listed them off in the intro, but I mean, it's baffling that this never got another season.
Yeah. Good writing, I thought,
great characters.
Yeah.
As terrible as they are, they're
I love the comedy songs.
Songs are great.
It makes me, well, I have a very deep-seated love for Flight of the Conchords, and this is like a slightly prettier version of them.
I would say they're a lot prettier than Britt and Jermaine.
How dare you, sir?
Look, Jermaine
We will talk about this later.
Okay, we'll talk about this
later. Thank you. I can't, Sean, right now, I can't even.
You just can't even?
That is, no.
Fair enough.
That's not how I'm going to end this.
Well, we're going to play some Amazing Grace here and just reminisce a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch over the audio.
And I'll keep talking while Sean keeps plugging at the knobs and the dials and the... Sean, just let me take care of this, I'd say. Let me talk about me for a minute or two. And you're goddamn right, it's what I do best. But, you know, I want to talk about that for a quick second, when people get mad when you talk about yourself. I mean, which topic are you more of an authority on than yourself? And that's where I've always felt most comfortable about talking about things, is when I can say it with confidence. Like, if somebody asked me about, hey, what about those astrophysics? I would be a little less comfortable talking about it because I'm not an expert. But you know what I am an expert on?
Yourself.
My goddamn self.
That's great. So, what did you like about
Garfunkel and Oates?
What are you going to miss about Garfunkel and Oates?
I'm going to miss the good songs. Like,
I'm definitely going to miss
the good
tunes.
I'm
going to miss Dennis, as awful as he was. I'm going to miss all the terrible characters that we ran into.
Yeah, they gave me something to about.
And chuckle at the same time. It was nice. It was very nice.
I'm going to miss the relationship between Kate and Ricky. These two girls who have each other and, like, need it.
Them against the world, really.
It is. And, there was at one of the beginning of the episodes, I don't remember if it was the first or the second, but it was just like Kate was saying, look what happens when you make all the right decisions in life. And Ricky goes, I love that you think we've made all the right choices in life. Like, yeah, they're just...
It was a great, great series. We're going to miss it a lot.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, though... Those are alternative for a eulogy for this series.
Yeah, we're just...
I got lazy. Deal with it. But
it's real peaceful this way.
Before we send off, let's play some spin-off salad. We haven't really played a lot of games.
No. For this series. In fact, we've played almost no games.
We played absolutely zero games for this series.
Maybe MVPs, MWPs.
Oh, shit. Let's do MVPs. For these episodes.
All right. I'm going... I want it to be Vivian.
Vivian?
Yeah.
She's great.
She's like, while she's watching Ricky inject herself with the cocktail for the hormones, and Vivian says, having trouble finding a vein? Yeah. She's like, it's the worst. That's why I got clean. Ricky says, you didn't get clean. You're drinking right now. And I forget Vivian's response, but it still didn't make any sense. Like, she's still just, she's a great, like, I love that character, that sassy, drunk comedian woman.
Nice. I am going to give it to Artemis.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry, Janice, or whatever her name was, because...
Yeah, Janice.
Every time she said, okay, and give the pain to me, I couldn't... I had to like, chuckle a little bit, because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
we'd...
the idea that she, like, diagnosed Kate with Peter Pan disease, which might be a real thing.
It probably is.
It's probably affecting some young adults.
It's probably like the shorthand for like the actual like how they say like Napoleon or little man syndrome, kind of thing. Yeah, like
totally.
I'm sure Peter Pan syndrome or whatever, it's there.
I prefer Neverlanditis, but I mean
Neverlanditis.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
Thank you.
So those are MVPs. Let's do spin-off salad, Steve.
Yeah.
Out of these characters, which ones would you like to see a spin-off of? You want me to start? Because
I do. You seem pretty teed up.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I'm going to stretch.
So, yeah, you stretch, you think. I would love to see Garfinger and Butts. Like, Garfinger and Butts making it. Like, They're out of, they're not out of porn, but they're still just succeeding like crazy, like just deals, deals, sponsors, deals, like all over the place.
Every time they turn around, another hit single, and then like another great porno.
Every episode has like a little porno interlude instead of songs. So that's something to look forward to. I also want to see Jonah and Kumail's characters as like the dog food
special,
like dog food lab techs or whatever.
Oh man, they were great.
I want to see them working.
They were so great.
I mean, what is it? Live at Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail can only get you so much. But I mean, yeah, those would be my two favorite spinoffs for this. How about yourself?
I had one, and then we started discussing, and I lost it. But hang on, I just got to run back.
All this sense.
It was the third member of the band.
Oh yes.
Not Whisper.
What was her name?
It was ridiculous. I hated it.
Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah.
Also known as Cornish.
Cornish. If I had like this delusional woman who is nothing but making it, and then like, yeah, because then it would be her and whatever the like how she's making music, how it's successful, like the reality that is in, and then we'd get like, because they maybe buried the hatchet, but I feel like she's just gonna come around at the anniversary again
next year.
So then we'd get to see Garfunkel and Oates when she goes after them, like the next year, kind of thing, and. Yeah, her and her assistant with the Stockholm syndrome. Like, I feel like that could be.
That's factoring in big time.
Yeah, that's gonna be my my MVP or my spinoff out from the hip. Like, if I had to shoot from the hip on this one, that's it.
I like it. I would also watch that as well.
Cool.
So yeah, that's Garfunkel and Oates, you guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate it much. It's too bad we had to cover the show. I mean, it's great for us, it sucks that there's no more episodes of the show.
Yeah, it's great when we can do great shows, but then it's tragedy for the people in the shows that we liked.
Yeah, exactly. So that's,
So maybe next time, shows that we hate that only lasted one season, because then we'll get to the season or our wrap up and we'll be like, thank God.
Thank goodness that garbage is over with.
Yeah.
Let's never speak of that again.
Just like a whole cathartic experience.
I think it would also be very fun to just like crap on a really terrible TV show.
I'm not a real negative person, Sean.
Well.
Yeah. But I think I could try on going after a bad show.
Well, let's see how we do. We'll tease
just,
it.
I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah,
we'll
these
tease
are,
what we're gonna
these
do
are the
next.
Cliffhangers.
Little bit of a tease for the next episode of the little shows that couldn't. It will not be Garfunkel and Oates. So thanks for listening. We're at littleshowspod.com, at littleshowspod on Twitter. You can catch me at Sean Stewman, and you can catch Steve at
Hamburgerface. And please follow me. I've only got 3 followers right now at the time of the broadcast, and I haven't made a tweet yet.
I was gonna say you kind of need to tweet if you want followers.
Let me finish.
Okay.
I want at least 5 followers before I make a tweet because who? Actually, to be honest, Sean, I haven't had a lot of time to do it, and I still don't understand it. So maybe I'll put some time into it this weekend.
All right.
Maybe
for the next episode, you'll finally have a tweet.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to make another commitment. There will be at least 5 tweets before we record again.
That is a Herculean task that I hope you are up for.
Thank you. Your support means everything, Sean.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm a very supportive guy.
I know.
That's what I do.
Right on.
Thanks for listening, guys. And remember,
keep being cool.